What's going on with lumber prices? How about the economy? Is inflation under control or is it going crazy? What are the feds going to do? You know, we're going to go over all of that and a lot more. We're going to talk about the housing market a little bit. In some ways, possibly how you can get your debt under control if you have a debt situation. So listen up. We appreciate you being here. I'm Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritma's NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold's NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Ritma.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus. We appreciate you showing up today and listening in. If you have any questions for us or want to talk about mortgages at all, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. You know, Ian, one of the big things I was looking at and I really wanted to talk about is we heard so much early in the year about lumber prices. It was one of those things that was showing us kind of where inflation was going. It's been more than the early in the year. It was even last year. But, you know, the lumber price futures have dropped 52% since early March.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
That's a huge drop.
Especially when everything else is going up.
Yeah, yeah. And they're saying, you know, part of the reason is because, and I found this interesting, single family homes, new construction, not existing homes, but new construction. The starts, the completions, the building permits, they all declined in April. Don't have May numbers yet, but they all declined in April. So there's not the need for the lumber. And why are they declining? They're declining because people don't want to wait till whenever we can get your house done.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a tough time to put on somebody. Well, possibly next month, the following month, 6 months, 9 months. That's hard to put on somebody.
Yeah, it used to be when I was in new home sales, it was basically a five-month process, right?
Yeah.
Today, they weren't sure for a long time when they were going to get lumber. But even then, at the end, they don't know when they can even get appliances, when they can get a lot of the things that they need to finish the home to turn it over to a homeowner. And people are saying, you know, we're not willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that that will get corrected, but right now there is a what appears to be a glut on the market. In April, only 12% of the lumber dealers reported low inventory. That was down from 61% earlier in the year. So it used to be 61% were low in inventory. Now only 12 are low in inventory. I mean, there's a ton of a lot more lumber out there. You know, many dealers are cutting prices aggressively to avoid piling up too much supply. So they got to get it.
Yeah, you don't want too much sitting on hand.
Right. So, as dealers slow their orders, lumber producers are cutting back on their operations. Confer Corp, which is a major Canadian lumber producer, has been operating at less than an 80% capacity since March. So they're cutting their capacity. And they expect to continue a reduced operating schedule through the entire summer.
Oh, wow.
So they're expecting it to go for some time. So what does this mean to all of us if we aren't buying a home? What it means is all those houses that you know, people who have been sitting there thinking, you know what, I want to improve my home. I want to do some, you know, maybe add a room or do some remodeling. It should cut the cost.
It's the time.
Yeah.
Because my parents have an older house, and they wanted to replace a lot of their siding and everything. Well, everything is wood with their house. Well, guess what? They looked at it about a year and a half ago. Oh, it was outrageous. I mean, because wood was in high demand. Everybody was staying home, so everybody was doing their projects. So they just put it off. And now they're getting new quotes, and they're so much lower right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing. It's a great time to do it because it might just be a window. We don't know. Mm-hmm. It might just be a window. And almost everything you do, like I did a lot of remodeling last year, and I didn't think it was much lumber really. You know, I was, because we took a wall out, but we didn't really do, we didn't add any walls. We didn't, what you would expect for wood. Mm-hmm. However, we still have wood cabinets that had to go in, right?
Correct. Yep.
All the trim is all wood. So there was a lot more wood than I was thinking there would be.
Mm-hmm.
So it does matter. Even in a normal remodel that you're not adding a room, there's a lot of wood going in it, which adds a lot to the cost.
Correct.
And so it's just one of those things that, it's really important that if it drops and you're in that market for remodeling, it really might be a good time. And it also, I don't know about buying a new home. You know, it might be a good time because, you know, the lumber is going down and builders price off of their cost, but I don't know how you can buy not knowing when it's going to be done.
That'd be the scary thing for me, especially because most times if you are looking, you're either renting or something like that. And guess what you have to do when you rent a place? A lot of times you got to sign a year contract. And once that's up, either they up the month to month super high or you have to sign another year. So I wouldn't want to be caught in that 3-month span. They're like, oh, well, we'll be done in another 3 months. What, my lease expires next month. You have to sign a whole new lease or something. That's
or go month to month or move out. I mean, take a double move. I have a customer right now that is, they're coming up. The house is about done. It's been over a year.
That's crazy to be sitting there just waiting.
Yeah, it's over a year. And it's not the builder's fault. You can't blame it. They can't get what they need to build the house.
Yep.
And I read somewhere, and I probably have the statistics here somewhere, talk about a lack of employees. Carpenters are like one of the hardest things to get. But all of the trades that build houses, they're just not out there. So all the builders are fighting for the same trades. You're fighting for those trades for the remodeling. So I think that's the other thing with new home construction slowing down, not having the starts, not having the completions, that should add up to it might be a really good time to do some remodeling because the trades are there. It should be there also, hopefully.
Well, hopefully you start to see a lot of that stuff start to turn around as we're starting now see with lumber. Now, I don't expect a lot of this stuff for a while, but you never know.
No, there just is no way to know.
No.
That we can't see the future. We can guess. We can, you know, kind of think this is what's going to happen. But
we can call Miss Cleo.
We could. Would that help? would she be any more accurate? That's the only thing I don't know. You know, it's funny, too. You know, when you talk about that, we watch the market all the time. We have a very good company that we follow that knows, that really has been very accurate over over what's going to happen. And you think the people who are supposed to know, like this is an area, the Federal Reserve, you would think the Fed members would know what's going to happen. They were so wrong and are still so wrong. How? I don't know. I don't even understand. And it's not like they can argue that because you can go back and get their quotes.
Yeah.
And then look at what happened. And they were wrong. 100% wrong.
Yeah. I mean, one, anybody can manipulate numbers the way they want. So whether they're getting told wrong or to go a certain way, it's astronomical to be wrong so much. Instead of most times, you're going to be right because most people look at graphs and look at the past. So you're going to know, all right, roughly it's going to do this. It's going to do this. But in every once in a while, a surprise will happen. It's just nature of life. But yeah, to be wrong as much, it's kind of laughable almost.
It's laughable, but my whole problem is we were listening to somebody who was telling us what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They knew better than the Federal Reserve. And then you see these surveys of economists and most of them are right. Most of the economists, you know, when you look at the surveys and what happened, they were accurate. But there's still, let's say 70%, 68%, whatever, were accurate. That leaves 30% supposed experts wrong.
Hey, my weatherman's not right all the time.
I know, but I think a weatherman's more right than these economists are.
Then you might be close.
Than the Federal Reserve, anyway. So it is amazing to me. That's why I like it's why I think we're very accurate in what's going on because we have we pay for a company to give us that information and what they think. And over time, you can see they're accurate.
Correct.
So it helps us help our customers make the right decisions and not make mistakes, you know, at whether they should lock or not lock. You know, I mean, nobody can get it 100%. But, you know, in a market like today, do you lock the rate or do you hold off? You know?
Yeah. Right now, if it's me, I'm locking right away because you never know what's happening right now. I mean, if it was a steadiest flow, then I might risk it. But right now.
Well, you and I are conservative.
Yeah, that is true, too.
In that area. So because we're conservative in that area, we tend to fall on that side. We will have times when it's very obvious you need to hold off, right?
Correct. I mean,
very obvious you need to wait because rates are coming down.
Yep.
But in a market like we've been in, you know, until you see the signs of it turning around, you lock the rate. But we're very also fortunate, same company, they send us alerts telling us, hey, lock the rate. Or even every morning they say, listen, we think you should float. We think you should lock. So we can follow that advice if we happen to agree with them.
Yep, correct.
Yep. So, that, you know, those things make a difference. Now, I know we wanted to talk about the debt crusher mortgage because we've had some people on that. We were going to talk a little bit about that. I think you were going to go over that. Do you want to?
Yeah. So what we've had tons of phone calls about the debt crusher mortgage. And what it allows is for you to take a lot of your debt that you have and reduce your overall payments by including that into your mortgage. And so that what that ultimately does is it takes your overall payments and lowers it. So your monthly payments, let's say if they were with everything combined about $2,000, we try to combine it in your mortgage, and maybe your overall payment drops down to $1,300.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that after the break. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and we're going to talk more about the debt crusher mortgage and how that might be of value to you. But before we do that,
now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Guess what? It is sponsored by Debt Crusher Mortgage, which actually is us and is one of the programs that we actually run. It helps relieve your stress of your debt and helps you live more comfortably. So the question last week was, what can you hold in your right hand but never in your left hand? It's your left hand. You can hold everything in your left. Now, if you don't have a left hand, then that makes it a little bit more hard. But all right.
Then it doesn't work.
No. All right. So what only has two words but thousands of letters? This one will be a good one, especially for the kids out there.
Yeah, they're all good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if somebody thinks about them, they might be able to get them or Google them, but they're all pretty good.
Okay. So we were talking about the debt crusher mortgage, and because we've gotten a lot of phone calls about it and how can it help certain people. So as we mentioned earlier, how it takes your old debt. So what type of debt are we talking about? So Rick, I got a few yes, no questions. So all you gotta do is answer yes, no. Pretty easy. So,
you know I can't answer just yes or no.
What debt can the debt crusher merge help lower your overall payments? What about credit card debt?
Yes.
All right. Car loans?
Yep.
What about tax liens?
Absolutely.
All right. Medical bills?
Absolutely.
Collections?
Well, yeah, if you're going to pay them off, yeah.
Student loans?
Told you I couldn't answer just yes or no. Yes.
And what about if they have a second mortgage?
Yes.
See, all this, and even there's more that I didn't even get into, that can easily, you can reduce your overall payment. And that's what the debt crusher mortgage does for you. I know, Rick, you actually just closed a loan with a customer. Do you know what roughly did they have auto loans or what type of loans did they have?
Yeah, they had a variety of loans. You know, the thing is, I want to make sure people understand it's not everything, right? I mean, it's sometimes it may not actually on that loan. Like, for instance, you take a home equity line of credit. It may be an interest only. So the payment may not really change by putting it into your new mortgage if you did that. However, you're now paying principal on it.
Correct.
You know, so there, it still can be better. And sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. We just have to look at that. But on the one I did, it had a car, it had quite a few revolving credit cards. It even had a timeshare.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
Yeah, had a timeshare in it. And it was amazing how much it really helped these people get their monthly expenses under control.
And then how much would you say their total monthly expenses were before we did anything?
Before we did anything, their total monthly expenses based on their debts, their current mortgage and the debts we ended up paying off with a refinance, they were at like $3,515.
Okay. All right. And then... So
that was total with the mortgage.
That's with the mortgage.
Yeah.
So, and then what was it after you complete?
It was like 2,400 and some 20, let's say 2,420, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They end up saving almost $1,100 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
In today's economy, they're now saving $1,100.
Yes. It was a few dollars less than $1,100. And it was life-changing because these people were on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
And it made all the difference in getting their life under control, taking the stress out of their life. They were so appreciative. And that's one of the things I really like about this mortgage. You know, when somebody is in a situation where it's a lot of stress, they're having it's hard on them.
Yeah, well, just imagine. I mean, when your debt's so high, you're living paycheck to paycheck. You go home at night and you go to sleep. Is it a peaceful night? Do you go to sleep right away? Most likely not. And this is what we've heard from these type of customers and everything. And look, life happens. We understand that. Our job is to help you get control again, be able to have that peaceful night's sleep, be able to go home. Like you're saving $1,000 or almost $1,100. How much that would make anybody sleep a lot better at night. I mean, yeah. And guess what? We've even told people, hey, look, If you're good with just getting an extra 500, you know what you can do with that? So we're just going to divide it in half. Take that 500, apply it to the principal every month. That'll help you pay down your mortgage even faster.
Well, yeah, that's another big piece of what we advise is how you can do that if that makes sense. Yep. Some people, that isn't what they're after.
It's not what they're after. Yep. And like we said, everybody's story is different. So everybody's mortgage is going to be different. And we tailor it to you.
But to your point, you take somebody like this, okay, and let's say they did take that $500 and they put $500 extra a month towards the new mortgage. So they still are saving almost $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the exact numbers, but I'll bet you they cut 5-6 years off the term of their mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
If they took all almost $1,100 and $1,090-something, their new term would go from the current term that they had, which was like 26 years and some months,
mm-hmm.
it'd be 12 years and 4 months. So they could pay all their debt be paid off and pay off their mortgage by making the exact same payment for 12 years and 4 months.
I'm sorry for helping you out.
and they also took a little bit of cash out for themselves because they had some things they wanted to do on their house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sound like they got a winner.
So they improved their house, paid off all their debt, lowered their payment. And, you know, all that sounds great, but it really did make a difference. It really did help them feel like they're more in control of their life and their finances.
Yeah. And that's basically what the debt crusher is for. It's not a hard thing. It's stuff that you and I do all the time. But you don't realize how much of a monkey off your back sort of talk that it does for people. I mean, that weight is just gone.
It's tough. I mean, I've had times in my life I had more debt than other times. And when you have more debt, you have more stress. Yeah. And you have, you know, a lot of times that stress rolls over into a lot of other parts of your life. Yeah. It may be financial stress, but it may affect your marriage. It may affect your kids. It may affect your job. If you can eliminate that, it can really be life-changing.
So one of the things that has added a lot of people's stress to their life, as we've talked about, and what the debt crusher can definitely help with, is the gas prices.
Right.
I know that everybody has seen the gas prices go up dramatically recently. I think Indiana was I just got a notification on my phone a couple of days ago that the average now is over $5. I think the national average is like $4.93 or something like that.
Right. Yeah, $4.93. Now, and it may have gone up since I put these numbers together, because I found this very, very interesting. Using a gas price at $4.93 and using last year's gas price at $3.07. So that's not even the total, because we were at $2 not that long ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially when everybody was working from home. Yeah. I think it was maybe even under two. I think a couple times I filled up and I was like, I even took a picture and sent it to everybody. I'm figuring, look what I just filled up for.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because, you know, then I was filling my car up for $40, $45.
Yep.
A full fill up. I filled up my car last Sunday and it was almost $100 to fill up my car.
Now, you do have a premium.
I have to put premium in my car.
But
yeah, there's that it does have to have, but it's still the same increase. I had to put premium at $40 too. So that extra $50 a month, almost $60, not a month, a fill up. That's what it is, you know, and that's a lot. But let's take the difference between the average for the gas now. Approximately, I think it's higher, but $4.93, and last year at $3.07. That's $1.86 more a gallon that we are spending. If you take the average miles per gallon, some cars get more, some cars get less, but the average miles per gallon is 20 miles per gallon. If you take city and highway driving, the whole bit, right? And so that added basically 9 cents a mile, 9 cents a mile.
That's
to driving your car. That's what it added.
I'm about to stop driving to work.
Yeah. If you take that by 14,000 miles, which is approximately the average miles driven per year, that's $1,260 additional per year, or $105 per month. That is unbelievable, and that can really affect somebody's budget.
Oh, humongously. $100 extra a month. That's just crazy that you're having to spend now on gas.
Yeah, it's nuts. And that's I think it's higher now because gas has gone up since then. I know mine, it's premium, but it was $5.36.
Well, AAA released that by Memorial Day, it should be about $6 a gallon.
You mean Labor Day?
Labor Day. Yeah, sorry.
We just passed.
I just always flip those.
Hey, wait a second.
I always remember it school in, school out. That's the only way I ever remembered it.
Okay. So when school starts again, they're saying it's going to be
$6
a gallon or seven.
$6.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen what we're seeing today.
No, Indiana's never had above averaged over five. That was the big thing. Even back in 08, 09.
It's unbelievable.
So,
I'm sorry, it's just unbelievable.
One thing we have not told everybody about the wonderful news that we recently have done is we've actually went ahead, because we've gotten a lot of people that said they missed our radio show, stuff like that. So what we started doing is recently Rick and I have been posting all of our radio shows on like podcasts and Spotify, iTunes, stuff like that. So you can easily go back and listen to some. We go ahead and we're starting to put chapters in there to make it easier so you can select what you want to do, but it makes it so much easier. So definitely, if you love listening to us, go to these, look us up under Hardworking Mortgage Guy, right? Or what is it?
Well, it's on my website as Hardworking Mortgage Guy, but on most of those, it's Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
What is it? One more time for them.
Indy, INDYS, Real Estate Gurus with an S. And that's how they should be able to find it. I don't know if they can look it up by our names, but it's probably easier to go Indy's Real Estate Gurus. I don't think it's under Hardworking Mortgage Guys. I'd have to double check that.
That's all right.
I should have checked that.
All right. Especially, and then our big news also is, remember, next weekend is our Father's Day special. So if grab your kids, sit down with them. We'll go through what types of things you should definitely talk to your kids about, financing, credit, even if they start looking for a house.
Right. You know, it's really important. I think a lot of it's, or it'll be all ages. So we're going to, you know, we'll do for young kids, because there's really great ways to teach your kids how to handle money. And I know there are many people who never get that from they don't get it from school.
Oh, no,
they
definitely
may or may not get it from their family. I don't know why, but money seems to be a taboo subject for a lot of people.
Yeah. You would think more of it would be religion or politics and everything like that. No, it's finances. I mean, I think that's one of the best things my dad ever did. Sat down and said, how much do you want to make? This is roughly how much I make. And he even told me, he goes, I don't think I should tell you this. And I debated on whether to tell you how much I make. So, but we got tons of this stuff to go over with you guys.
Yeah, but you know, and it's something that needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Kids need to know this. And I mean, my dad, I think he did pretty well. He was a department chief of engineers at Western Electric, right? He was, and he was well educated, but he had six kids. So they didn't have, you know, he did all right. We had a nice life, have no complaints, but I'm sure he wasn't, you know, it wasn't like some people that, you know, but it was great. But he never really, he just said he wasn't very good with money, but he was actually very good. We're running out of time. We appreciate you joining us today. If you have any questions, want to talk with us, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Or as Ian said, you can listen to us on our podcast at almost all of the podcast areas. Thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.